Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that's part of this complete breakfast. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope.
All right, here we are. This is Shane and Al. We are recording live from the North Shore of Minnesota. This is the North Shore Scope Spectacular. Hey, Al, how you doing?
Good day.
Good day. Al is here. I am here. But you'll notice that Jared and Adam, the other host of The Scope, are not, obviously, they would not be on vacation with us for this North Shore Spectacular.
Never.
Al and I have a lot of good ideas planned for our all North Shore Scope edition, Scope Show edition of our podcast. But in order to do that, I felt it would be only appropriate if we dial up Jared and make sure that it's okay with him that we do the show without him, since there has never been a Scope Show without Jared.
Let's dial him up.
Let's dial him up. Beep, boop, bop, boop, beep, bop, beep. Jared, are you there?
Yeah.
Jared is there.
No, I wanted the large. Oh, hold on, I gotta call. What's that? Hey, hello.
Cherry Jubilees.
We need you here, Jared.
Fish.
Oh, what? Oh, sorry, I was making an order. What's up?
Hey, Jared, I hope things are great for you down in Minneapolis. We are about 240 miles north of you on beautiful, scenic Lake Superior.
61.
Wow.
Highway 61.
Fantastic.
So how are you doing down there? Do you miss me?
Well, it's only been a few days. I can't say that I miss you quite yet.
Well, hopefully that's...
My daily chat partner is missing, and that causes me a bit of grief.
Well,
I'm getting through it.
I hope that grows exponentially as the rest of the week goes on.
We can only hope.
Yeah, I hope so. So, Jared, I don't know if you know why I'm calling you, even though secretly you already do, because we planned this out ahead of time, but we're The Scope and
it's like you're Jon Stewart, who's laughing at his own jokes and the construction of them on his show.
Well, we're going to try to see if we can really make this comedy gold. Jared, Al and I have plans for The Scope Show North Shore Edition 2011, but unfortunately they don't include you because you're not here. So I'm asking you, as Godfather of the Scope, the guy who's never missed an episode with me, would it be okay?
Mostly because it's recorded in my basement.
Yes, I know. We're gonna try to do this all on our iPhones. This is super technology. Would you be so gracious enough of a host to let us record this without you, and then maybe you could construct this later back at your Scope Show studios?
Well, seeing as how my divine hand will eventually touch the final product anyway, I feel it is in my best interest and the audience's interest to confer my blessing upon this bold adventure you've partaken.
Wow, I am honored. Al, are you honored?
Yes, and luckily I have the Tom Cruise button bar memorized.
We're going to do all the Scope Show sounds by, you know, we're going to rough it, you know.
Not hot.
It's really fast. It's a sound effect via mimicry. I'm excited.
It's going to be very good.
Not hot.
So before we let you go, what is your take on the fact that the Smurfs almost beat Cowboys and Aliens at the box office this past weekend?
Number one, I'm dumbfounded in the fact that America would support such a film. But it is a testament to marketing. And I think you had excellent marketing as far as the Smurfs go. It's not targeted at me, it's targeted at the right people. And they came out to see it and support it. Cowboys and Aliens maybe wasn't marketed properly, and the reviews were mediocre at best. And I think that hurt it. So,
do you think that it's proof positive that Doogie Howser should be locked in an August opening date for just about every single super summer movie tentpole there could possibly be?
Well, Mr. July, as you know, is a Will Smith. Why can't we have a Mr. August?
I think
Mr. Neil Patrick Harris.
I'm with you there 100%. One other thing, debt ceiling has been raised. What is your take?
I think we're just forestalling the inevitable. Democracy is broken in this country. I've heard that we are heading to the point where we are going to have a government that is incapable of raising revenue. And I don't know. I think the worst is still to come. The markets are responding today with a big sell-off. So we're not out of the woods yet, folks.
You're glib.
But the good thing is we can still produce a Scope Show once every 6 weeks to really keep America on its feet.
All right.
Very good. Well, Jared, I'm going to let you go. Al and I have booze to drink, grills to fire up, and I will talk to you, sir, this coming Saturday, and we're going to put together one hell of a show for you.
I look forward to it.
Thank you very much. We'll talk to you later. Later, Jared.
All right, bye-bye.
So there we go. Al and Shane doing the Scope Show North Shore Special. Al's running out of the room. Al, will we do a Scope Show that is worthy of Jared's absence?
No.
No. There we go. We won't. We'll. But guess what? We'll take a break. We'll be back a little bit later with more Scope Show North Shore Edition 2011. And we're back. So it's Al and Shane, North Shore 2011, our special show. We have gotten permission from Jared to record without him. Al, are you excited about what this show could be?
Yes, I'm excited, but I am worried.
Why are you worried?
We don't have Jared's savviness and technology to boost the show.
Yeah, we're doing this all lo-fi this time around. You know, you're up in the middle of nowhere. I mean, I'm right now looking out at the Lake Superior, one of the biggest lakes in the world. How do you get the sound effects? How do you get the music? How do you get all the bells and whistles that makes the Scope Show great? We leave that to Al. Al, fill us in. What are we going to get here for a little sound effect action? We've got it all. Yeah, everything's going to be lo-fi. We'll do our very best to get the Jared experience in with our show. But there we go. Yes, we've got it all. I don't know how it's going
to
sound, Al.
I might not even have to talk.
You might not have to, which would be very bad for the show because I need all the help I can get. So we're going to be doing a North Shore-related topics here. But that doesn't mean we're going to be doing bear hunting and how to kill black flies and how to find Yeti in the middle of the wilderness. Al and I, when we first really started hanging out, it was at the North Shore, probably about 11 years ago. And one of the things that bonded us was music. So 10 years ago, we decided to create an ultimate, I don't know if a playlist, just an ultimate set of music that we thought would be timeless. And how long ago did we? I mean, we probably started it 10 years ago, but maybe finished at 9.
I think it was 8 years ago.
So, Al, and we.
And creatively, we called it
The Ultimates.
Yeah.
So it's a four-disc set of tunes that we debated and we processed and we felt were some of the best songs ever, which, looking back at it now, that may be true in some cases and may not be true in others, but we thought it'd be fun to take a look back at some choice tracks, both good and bad, and see if they stand up to the ultimate test 10 years later. We're also going to... Thank you. Also going to do a review of the latest album from hot indie band The Vaccines. They very popular over in the UK. They're here now, making all sorts of waves, a big splash. So we'll give that the Scope treatment in the highest lo-fi way possible, which should include music clips and a whole bunch of fun. We may have interviews with other Scope hosts later on.
Music clips that will start at the 000 mark of each song.
Yes, yeah, we're not going to be chopping up like Jared. We're not going to have fade-ins and fade-outs, but we'll do our best. And who knows, maybe we'll do a little news, maybe we'll do coming soon. I don't know yet. We'll just have to see where the Scope Show North Shore Spectacular 2011 takes us. So please, everyone, stick with us, and hopefully we'll put together a good show for you.
Bazinga!
There we go. So we'll be back in a little bit. We're back. It's Al and Shane. North Shore 2011. Spectacular. Okay, so Al, one of the things that brought us together so many years ago, 2003, was our love of music, not to mention our now wives have to be related.
Sounds like we're whispering because they're in the room.
They're in the other room and they're probably mocking us as we do this, but I don't really care because...
I do care.
I will beat it out of my wife later.
I have thin skin.
So, Al is a big music guy, as everyone knows, and I am almost as big of a music guy. And we really bonded over a lot of the shared bands that we liked, and Al was also nice enough to let me into his world of Wilco, and I don't know who else that you... Give me some other bands that back in the day you were so into that I didn't get into.
I don't know, I didn't think back in the day we were that far off.
Yeah, maybe that's... Maybe now we've diverged.
Yeah.
Pop that down for me.
Yeah.
So yeah, we threw one song in here from Nirvana. It's Breed. Probably a song that the two of us totally agreed on as one of Nirvana's best, and definitely made our list of good songs. So, you know, we bonded over this music, and as we said earlier in the show, we decided to put together a bunch of discs of some of the best music you could possibly think of. We call it the ultimate, and I'm telling you, we debated for probably a year from start
half
to finish.
A year to a year. Yeah.
And we ended up getting about 64 different songs. The rules were no repeat artists, could be any time period, any genre.
Covers,
it didn't matter.
Intentional or unintentional.
Yes. And it was a pretty difficult process. I don't really know why it took us so long to do it. Maybe it's just our schedules, lives. Yeah. But yeah, we ended up getting 64 different songs. We published the discs in 2004. We shared them with some friends and family. And we thought it would be kind of interesting to go back and revisit a few songs to see if they're worthy of the ultimate list, or maybe we were just crazy 10 years ago or 8 years ago or whatever it was. So one song that I had on my list was by a band, an English band called Doves, not The Doves. And the song is called Pounding. Came out
2001-ish.
So let's listen to a little bit of that and I can talk about it.
I think initially why I like this song is because we share a somewhat favorite band, Oasis.
Yes.
Or songs from Oasis, and definitely has a distinct Noel Gallagher sounding voice.
Yeah.
With definitely a U2 type feel to the edgy guitars.
There's a UK feel to this band, and people that know me and listen to the show know that pop sound is probably the number one defining factor in terms of whether I'm going to like something or I'm not going to like something.
And this was another intro to a British band that I hadn't heard of, and I kind of fancy myself as a Brit rock fan, so
yeah,
for you to catch this one before me was
good for me.
Was a couple points for Shaney.
Good. So I think obviously the way we're talking about this, the Doves utterly deserve to stay on the ultimate list, and I'm happy to reaffirm their place.
Yes.
In the pantheon that is the Ultimates. Mm-hmm. So, Al, you've got to have a song or two in here that...
Yeah, there's a couple. I think this was a shared song for you and me that we both probably nominated to the list. I don't think if you went to high school or college in the 90s and didn't connect with some form of Radiohead, whether it was the Bends or OK Computer.
Yep.
I don't know. We'd maybe consider a little less of you.
Yeah, and I can tell you that I actually wrote a huge paper on OK Computer back in college, but I will always go back to the Bends to me as probably being, you know, it's kind of like that bridge album between when Radiohead turns into this band that starts doing all sorts of crazy, cool, weird shit, and bridges the gap between that and when they were just more of just a rock band doing their thing, writing their songs.
Yeah.
And this song, Big Plastic Trees, off of the, I think this is in Clueless, the movie Clueless. I think that's one of the reasons that it gained a lot of fame in the U.S. because Radiohead had one hit, which they were almost considered a one-hit wonder at the time with
Creep.
Speaking of,
they kind of almost disacknowledged that song for a while in their career, where they just quit playing it and kind of be an anti-establishment.
So we've got this great song here, Big Plastic Trees. Let's listen to that.
Yeah.
we put this on the apex of the song.
Yeah.
Should we put the disclaimer out again, our lo-fi system we have going on here today?
For the record, Al is literally doing this with a Logitech speaker system, an iPod, and he's just manipulating it as we're going. So I think it's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Cool thing about that song, too, has a great music video that supported it with them in this, like, a weird, super clean grocery store kind of being pushed through carts. It's got a lot of radio or a lot of play on MTV. Okay, let's go to Al's next song.
Well, that last one was, again, I kind of consider the last one more of a shared song.
Okay.
And Wilco, I just put Jesus, Etc. on. I wouldn't say I really have a favorite Wilco song. It probably changes every day, but at the time, this was probably it.
Wilco's done a lot of good stuff since we released this in 2004. Would you pick a different song to make an ultimate list, even though you say it changes if you go back and revisit?
No, because my two favorite albums were Summer Teeth and this, so I don't dislike the newer albums. I just think the Yankee Hotel Foxtrot and Summer Teeth were both, to me, that's 1 and 1A for the favorite my favorite albums, and so I wouldn't necessarily say I'd pick something different from a newer song since we've done it.
All right.
So
let's listen to a little bit of Jesus, Etc.
Don't cry. You can rely on me, honey. You can come back anytime you want. I'll be around. You write about the stars. Each one is a setting sun.
Of course, Al's favorite band gets the most, I mean, it's most play, of course, on the Scope Show Spectacular because, you know, you are running the sound.
Yes, yes. Shane, your thoughts on Wilco just in general? And
well, Wilco is still one of those bands that I get why people like them. I see they're talented. They just don't always strike a chord with me. But I will say that especially the last few times I've seen them live, and most of the time it's like on SNL or one of those bands, one of those shows like that, they are always, I mean, you can tell these guys are professional. They're good. They always have such a crisp, clean, exact sound that is it's super impressive to me anytime I see it.
They added Nels Klein as their featured guitar player after this album, and this guy plays blues festivals, releases a lot of stuff on his own. I mean, he is a pro, and you can tell their albums have gone a little more jammy.
Yeah.
Since his arrival, because he,
when you have the, when you have those type of skilled people on there, that's what you do.
Yeah. So.
So let's go on to another song that is on the list. This is, I would say, a classic song, late '60s, Rolling Stones. You Can't Always Get What You Want off of the Let It Bleed album. Al and I were talking about this before. We don't have a ton of, you know, like radio gold songs on here. It tends to come, most of the songs we picked came from when we listened to music most, and you know, growing up, Al didn't listen to the Eagles and I didn't listen to
70s radio hits is probably where I kind of fall off. I kind of almost skip mid to late 70s when it comes to my music library. Like, I jump from the Rolling Stones right up to about Elvis Costello.
Sure. And with me, I always started at the 80s, you know, 1980. But as I've gotten older, and I was telling Al, just because of the amount of rock band I play, where they have so many 70s bands, you know, country rock, and you think of like Lynyrd Skynyrd and stuff like that. They're really featured there, and I've grown to respect them a lot and appreciate that type of music a lot more. And I would guess if we were to do another Ultimate, you'd see a lot more of that. You'd probably see a lot more bands out of even the late 60s.
Yeah, well, we've decided if we would do it again or if we would have done this over again, we probably would have not made it as large as we have.
Yeah.
So the percentage probably of classic songs would probably make up more of the list.
Yep.
Maybe not adding more to this, but probably just subtracting.
It's all math. That's really
songs.
What it is. So let's listen to a little bit of Mick Jagger.
If we don't, we're gonna blow a 50-amp fuse. Sing it to the house. You can't always get what you want.
thing is, if you live up here in the sticks, you even know this song.
Yes, everybody knows this song.
So we're not too snobbish.
You know, this is one of those songs that I think will outlast time itself in terms of sounding classic and being something that's relevant. You know, a lot of artists today still cite Rolling Stones and is one of their major influences. Adam Levine and Christina Aguilera have a new track out right now talking about strutting around like Mick Jagger. So there you go.
All right, let's go to some mistakes.
Okay.
Because we've covered a handful of mistakes, and we probably don't even want to show you all of our mistakes on here. I'm going to go with my what I feel to be definitely not worthy anymore. And it's kind of a band, more of a nostalgia band for me, was back in the late 90s, early 2000s, was the band Better Than Ezra. Yeah. And I'm not going to sit and abolish them from my playlist, but this song and many other songs probably are just, it's not ultimate worthy.
This song is called Get You In. It's off of their Closer album, which is funny because Better Than Ezra really are known for probably about three songs, and this is not one of them. It's strange that we would put a deeper track from Better Than Ezra on. I still like the song a lot.
Yeah.
But I would say
gun to my head, I'm not going to throw this down as a song you must hear.
Yeah.
Or else your life is not worth anything.
So let's listen to a couple seconds of Better Than Ezra. O'clock, you come shuffling, and then I lock you out. I wanna get you. And that's it.
That's it. You know what, Shane? Just looking back now, we have a very soft set of songs we just picked for this segment. Hmm. People are probably thinking we're a bunch of pansies. Yeah.
Well, let me as you're playing this, keep playing this song, and I will talk about some of the songs that I probably myself personally.
Oh, I thought we were only picking songs that I picked for you to rip apart and tell me that don't belong on.
Well, I mean, just looking at the list, at the time, I put a few dance tracks on there. Like, I have a Chemical Brothers song on there.
I like that on the list.
We've got
that one.
A Paul Oakenfold. I like the song. I just don't know if it's gun to my head, as you would say, would be a song that I would put in there. We've got have a Paul Oakenfold song, which I really liked Paul Oakenfold at the time. And I probably made a bigger push for it. Who else on the list here? We've got one that Al, looking at it right over here, Tonic.
Yeah,
Tonic's another Better Than Ezra type of band.
I would say even a step down, in my opinion. I mean, they had one song, or maybe one and a half hits.
When I, at this time, I was fancying myself to be sort of, I can dig out bands that people never heard of. And I have a band in here called from Sweden called Cloudberry Jam, which is a cover. They did a cover of a 90s grunge band that I thought was really cool, but probably wouldn't stand the test of time. And I'd probably put one more track, another band in here from the UK called Athlete. They had a track I really like, but they were way more popular in the UK than they ever were here. I don't think people even know who they are here, but I'm not sure if it's ultimate worthy as well. And one other track I wanted to debate with Al is one he picked is a band you might have heard of. They're called The Cure.
Little band
from England. And we got a song here called Mint Car off of their Wild Mood Swings album. A little bit
96?
Yeah, this is later.
95, 96.
Yeah, I would say that, their last real kick was 92 when I graduated from high school with Friday I'm in Love. That's probably their last big legitimate song. But we got Mint Car. And I was just looking through the list, and I actually like The Cure a lot. I just thought, as I was looking at it, there might be a few other songs from The Cure that might be better on the ultimate.
Okay.
What say you, Al?
Well, let's listen to this, and you compare it, think in your head a few songs,
okay,
and see where this stacks.
Where they don't sing. Good timing, Shane. I really don't think it gets any better than this. Through a smile and a gorgeous strawberry kiss. So it has all of the trappings of a good Cure song. You've got the Robert Smith kooky voice. You've got the upbeat, poppy tempo, which...
The sad bastard lyrics.
Yeah, the sad bastard lyrics. So it's, the counterbalance of, depressed goth with uplifting guitar. It's really strange that The Cure is always known for being sad bastards, but most of their stuff that was really popular wasn't. So I've got my list, and I just pulled out four songs. I've got Just Like Heaven, Fascination Street, Pictures of You, and Love Song. Now, for me, I could cross off Fascination Street and Love Song, but to me, I think the quintessential great Cure song is Just Like Heaven.
Yeah, I like that song a lot, and I put this song in the realm of, like, when In Between Days was popular.
Yeah.
And I honestly got to think, if this song was put out then and In Between Days was put out in 96,
yeah,
you'd probably feel the way you do about In Between Days about this song.
Maybe.
And vice versa.
Maybe.
I think quality-wise, I think they're just as good. So maybe it was more of a timing piece for you.
And I don't think that this is an example of a bad Cure song, because I think any good Cure song, they probably all sound, sound similarities. I just thought, hey, let's talk about it. And if we were to go back and redo The Ultimate, I probably would argue for Just Like Heaven or Pictures of You fairly vigorously.
Yeah, this would be my response to that then. Shane decided to put We Got The by the Beastie Boys, which I kind of think is the basically same equivalent of the Cure song that I picked, that you picked for the Beastie Boys, when you could argue they have maybe a dozen better songs, or at least maybe more notable songs or well-known songs.
And unlike you, I would say I completely agree with you. Yes. This was a flub on my part.
I get your sentiment, but
I think that you could go, pull anything off of Paul's Boutique or Ill Communication, and any of their other songs.
I think if you threw this song, probably in a lesser form, on any of their first couple albums, then this could be the song everyone knows.
Yeah.
Played on, your top 40 radio still nowadays, or your classic top 40 radio.
Yeah, I just think this is an example of, one of the two decent songs off of To the Five Boroughs, but I think the Beastie Boys have done a lot more interesting things way earlier in their career, and who knows, maybe even a song or two off. I mean, a song or two off their new album is probably probably equivalent to this. Not not completely destroying. And you really like it. You're jamming it. So good pick out.
Yeah.
So looking back at it, The Ultimates, was it a success?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like I said earlier, it shouldn't have been four discs with 16 tracks to be called The Ultimate. 64 songs is a lot of
Maybe you take it to Ultimate. 30. Maybe you cut it in half.
Yeah.
32.
Or just 20. 40, two discs of 40. A top 40 of all time. So.
So there we go. So this has been a lot longer segment than I thought it was going to be, but I think it's all golden now.
Yes.
So let's wrap this thing up. We'll take a break, and we'll come back to you with more North Shore 2011 Scope Show Spectacular after this. All right, we're back with another terrific segment for our North Shore 2011 Spectacular. I said we'd have special guests, and I wasn't kidding. We've got Adam, third host of the show, sitting in as a special guest rather than an actual host. Adam, how's it going?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Right now we are sitting looking at beautiful Lake Superior. The temperature's about 70 degrees. Little cool breeze coming off. I've got jeans on right now. What are you doing?
Are you lying? Like, is this really happening?
No, this I am honest to God telling the truth. It is about as perfect weather you could get right now.
I still don't know if you're telling the truth. I really thought that when you were setting this whole thing up that you weren't really on vacation anymore.
No, what I'm doing is I'm slowly trying to get both you and Jared out of the show, and I thought this would be a very good ploy to start the whole thing in motion.
All right.
So you are not in Minnesota right now. You are where? Tell our listeners where you're at.
I'm in the most racist state in the Southwest, Arizona.
Are you doing your best to help build the fence to keep the minorities away?
Did you know that there is a prison here called Tent City where they put prisoners? Or I don't know if they're illegal immigrants. But anyway, it's a tent city, and that's where they keep them. Temporarily.
That tent city is probably run by like a Halliburton type of company. Actually, I think it is actually. And they
I don't know. Sheriff Joe, that the guy that campaigns on hating brown people.
Yes.
He was there seen with an Elvis impersonator yesterday. So I guess they're okay.
Do they have like a tent city webcam or something that you can actually be watching this stuff, or does Sheriff Joe make the news every night?
Sheriff Joe makes the news every night. Also, hotel internet is such that even if they had a webcam, I probably couldn't watch it too well.
It's so terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So you're there on work, but for those of our listeners that don't know, which would probably be none of them, it's also your birthday, so I want to wish you a happy birthday. What did you do? What did you do on your birthday while you were there?
Well, I flew out here on my birthday.
Okay.
So I didn't do too much. I got in kind of late. It's monsoon season, so it thunderstormed on me in the desert. I was supposed to get upgraded to first class. I had been upgraded to first class, and then as I was getting on the plane, they informed me that I was no longer going to be in first class because a couple of the seats were damaged or something.
Oh, no.
So that's kind of a bummer, you know, because I would have eaten before I got on the plane.
Sure.
If I didn't expect to get a free meal and a bunch of booze.
I was really
excited for all the booze that I was going to drink, which is what I do in first class.
It would have been awesome if they could have snuck a meal and a booze bottle back to you and then really pissed off all the people sitting around you.
A Bloody Mary, but there's a huge difference between buying a $7 single Bloody Mary and drinking four for free.
Can you expense that?
I can't expense that, but I get $71 a day per diem, so I just kind of chalked it up to that.
Chalk it up to a little per diem action. So, how long of a flight is like 4 hours out there?
2:50.
See, I'm very poor with estimation.
It's all right. What's the difference, really?
It really doesn't matter. You know, once you're going to Arizona, it's all downhill from there. So how long are you going to be there?
I leave, so I'll have been here 2.5 days.
Yeah, and then you're coming back and celebrating your birthday in style.
I don't know about that, but I'm coming back.
Well, I can't wait to be invited to your party.
Come play poker next Saturday?
Very uncomfortable moment. That's okay.
All right.
We can be podcast friends. Two things. Congratulations on your appearance on the Zero.
I don't have a party, Shane. I'm not you and Carrie.
Yeah, that's true. We have parties and not invite you instead.
Yes.
So, congratulations on your 0 hour podcast appearance, or appearance of five, I'm not sure.
Yeah, he does a good thing in splitting it all up. It's cool.
Where'd he get that idea, I wonder?
I don't know, from us.
From us, but he just beat us to the punch. I think you did a good job. I can't wait for you to be back on our show in a proper way. That ought to be fun, so we'll probably hit that in the fall. And I just wanted to get your take, finally, on debt ceiling. It's been passed. Is it good for America?
I don't know. My understanding is that the salmonella in the debt ceiling is killing a lot of people, and Cargill is recalling the debt ceiling now. I may be mistaken on this.
I like that. I like how you bring current events together into one big mass jumble.
The news has. I don't understand, though.
Yeah, it's pretty insane. Well,
Shane, who's winning so far up there? I know you guys keep score of every game. Who's winning?
In terms of just anything?
Who's winning cabin?
Oh, who's winning cabin? I've got to say that cabin 2 is probably winning.
Oh, you do a cabin versus cabin?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Well, sometimes.
Okay.
So are you talking?
I mean, we only have like 7 or 8 people that go up and stay at one cabin, so we just do a single winner. But you do like family versus family?
Yeah, well, there's whole families here, and I think in the compound we've probably got, let's see, probably 5 cabins that we've taken over in this area.
Oh.
So the whole north side of the resort is all Carrie's family. It's pretty crazy. Lot of her family here, and it's crazy, like I said. And the resort, they've just started microbrewing, so they have their own brewery here now, and you can get growlers galore, and there's been a lot of beer drinking.
I don't know what any of those words meant, but I'm happy for you.
Well, apparently you're not a microbrew expert.
I don't drink beer, so...
Yeah, that's true, you don't.
That'd be kind of funny to be, like, a microbrew expert, just, from the technical standpoint, but not drink any of the beer.
Well, that sounds like a hipster move, if you want my opinion.
All right, I'm going to grow out my beard again and do that.
Yeah, you were cool hipster before there was an unhip hipster, so I appreciate that.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. So, yeah, that's the only other thing I wanted to say was I called Jared earlier in the show to get his permission to do a show before we actually started recording it, and he was gracious enough.
I love that you're calling this a show.
It is. It's crazy. Like, it's gotten so low that I'm just calling the hosts as special guests.
Is anyone else there listening to this conversation?
Not this particular conversation. Everybody else is drinking, so it's just you and me.
All right. Well, make sure you play it for them. I'm excited to hear their review prior to having to not read any comments that no one posts on the website.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, you know what? I think most of these people here have trouble accessing the internet, let alone trying to figure out podcasting.
Wow.
So,
all right, don't play this for them now.
They don't listen. They don't listen, unfortunately. But I hope that you're okay with me doing the show without you. When you listen to it, you'll definitely never want to do it without me again, because I have a hunch it's not going to be one of our strongest. But
no, Shane. I'm not okay with shows happening without me. Never let this happen again.
I think that's sort of the funny irony of it, isn't it? I'm actually calling for your permission, but yet 85% of the shows happen without you anyway.
I would say that's a good estimate.
Yeah, I think
I want to put this out there to the Minnesota area school people, trying to put together a tabletop game group. So any of our listeners that I don't like are into such things.
Give me a good example of a tabletop game.
Pandemic, Carcassonne, Settlers of Catan.
So like nerdy tabletop games. We're not talking
I would call these more family tabletop games. I would call a Warhammer nerdy, and I don't want to play those.
Okay. I think one of our fellow hosts, Jared, might be interested in that.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, yeah. He's a guy that you've been on the show with once or twice. He runs the sounds. It's pretty crazy.
Okay.
Well, though, all our listeners, you heard it. Adam's looking for tabletop game players. I mean, I'm sure we're going to get dozens and dozens of submissions, so you might actually start your own league rather than a team.
Something a lot of work.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to playing WoW.
Fair enough. So I will let you get back to your job, and I will get back to my cabin battles and my watching of Lake Superior. And
all right. Well, I don't know what cabin number yours is, but good luck to your cabin.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So
all right.
That's Adam live from Arizona. We will hopefully have him on the show for reals next time. And let's take a break, and we'll be back with more North Shore Scope Spectacular, Special Edition, 2011. And we are back, North Shore, 2011. Scope Special Spectacular. I've named it a million different things a million different times, but certainly wouldn't be an episode of the Scope if we weren't reviewing something. We don't have all of Jared's fancy sound effects for Under the Scope, so let's just get into our review of the latest album from the UK band The Vaccines. They are from the UK, are they not, Al?
Yes, they are. Okay. From London, England. They've
so take it over.
Formed, I think they formed it just about a year ago. And we're going to review today their album, What Did You Expect from the Vaccines? And the first clip you heard coming in was their first single, Wrecking Bar. And just a few notes, they've opened for the Arctic Monkeys this year. People have been throwing on comparisons to Jesus and the Mary Chain. And let's just take a listen to their second single that they released, which is, the lyrics sound a little corny, but it actually, I think, is not meant to be a novelty song.
All right, play it.
I can barely look at you. Don't tell me who you lost it to. Didn't we say we had a deal? Didn't I say how bad I feel? Everyone needs a helping hand. Who said I would not understand? Someone on the social scale. Going off the rails. Break up sex. I was here for that. Show ends. What
get down for the naughty words.
Yes, we don't want to...
PG-13 audience here. We'll go one more track right here. It was the third single. It's called If You Wanna. And like I said, maybe not as much on the corny side, but a little straightforward rock and roll for you.
Happy little tune.
Yeah. So, Shane, what do you think?
Well, you are the music expert, so I will defer that portion of the review. But, you know, I've listened to the album with you a few times. I've listened to it a couple times on my own. And, you know, sometimes I hear different influences in the lead singer's voice. I don't even know what his name is. And so it starts to sound like other bands a little bit. But I like what I hear. You know, I like the UK feel to it. I like the fact that it's another The band showing some successful tendencies. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to like that. I like all the tracks that you selected. Except the first, like I was telling you before, the first one I didn't even realize it was a single. And I picked up on this album probably about 4 months before it was released here. I think I read about these guys in Spin and said, oh, I should give it a listen. And, you know, it seems to fit into that pocket of music that I tend to like, so...
Yeah, we discussed this off the air.
Yeah.
Or is it the air?
Offline.
For podcasts? Yeah. Offline. That there wasn't anything really overwhelming about this album, but to me it kind of feels like that comfy hooded sweatshirt you'd bring up north. Not the newest, shiniest thing.
Nice reference to what we do up
here. Yes. But it's just a nice, easy listen. I think this album will catch on steam. I wouldn't compare it to Mumford & Sons, but I think... Mumford and Sons have kind of maybe opened that door for some more British acts to come around. So you hear a lot of,
Even though Mumford and Sons doesn't sound like they're British.
Yeah. But it's, you know, they're a little less folky than them. Mm-hmm. I like the band The Jam from the 70s and 80s. It kind of has a maybe not as rigid feel to it as The Jam. And then I'm also a fan of Billy Briggs, so I hear like a obviously less political, but more fun version of something he would put out. So
sure.
This, it, like you said, kind of fits right in that pocket of music that you and I would throw on.
So you're not going to hear this on your top 40 stations. You definitely will hear, and you probably have been hearing a lot of them on your local indie type stations for sure. So score, we got to give this a score. Now, since we are up north in the land of 10,000 lakes, Al thought it would only be appropriate if we gave him a scope score based on 10,000 lakes.
Yes.
Right? So give him a score. Well, Joe?
Scope score is...
9,000!
Okay, so over 9,000.
Over 9,000.
Somewhere between 9,000 and 10,000.
And if you were to translate that into a standard scope star score, that'd be, give it about 3 stars, we think, is a fair rating. And give it a check this out. I mean, you guys know what our musical tastes tend to be and what we like and what we don't like, and I think this fits squarely into the stuff that we talk about and give a chance. I feel like this is something that could really grow on you, or at least work well in your mix of music.
Yeah.
So there we go. So let's take another quick break. We'll be back with more Scope live from the North Shore right after this.
People might say that I should struggle more. I'm so happy I can see the sun.
All right, we're back with another segment from the North Shore. We're going to be taking over a little bit of Adam's realm here with Coming Soon. This is all the latest and greatest of music, movies, TV, DVDs, whatever you want. Al and I are going to take a critical eye, gaze towards the future and see if there's anything that's of interest or laughable. So let's start with August 23rd, music. We got a lot of great tracks coming out, or great discs. Is that what the kids are listening to? Discs?
Great. Discs. Tracks.
Tracks. Okay, we'll say tracks. Looking at it right here, we've got a new album from The Game, the R.E.D. album, or the Red album. Stephen Malkmus and the Jicks, one of my favorite, and the bands, with Mirror Traffic. And
band name.
Yeah.
Band name.
And a new album by Al's favorite artist all time, Barbara Streisand, What Matters. That is lo-fi sound effects. Well, let's go on to August 30th for music, Al. A big, big week for music. Another one of your favorites, Glenn Campbell, Ghost on the Canvas. The Jacuzzi Boys with Glazin'. I don't know who they
Where
are.
Where did you get this list?
This is Metacritic stuff.
Oh, okay.
We've got Lenny Kravitz, Black and White America. Oh. Is Lenny Kravitz past his time, Al?
Maybe.
What about the guy formerly of Soul Coughing, Mike Doty, with Yes and Also Yes?
I like his stuff.
Yeah. He gets a little bit of local play here, mm-hmm. obviously. Minneapolis, big Soul Coughing connection, yeah. So that's to be expected. Eagerly awaited Red Hot Chili Peppers, I'm With You. I've heard their new track.
Not bad.
Not bad, not terrible.
Don't love it.
No, I don't love it, don't hate it.
Could be worse. That's the way I look at it. It's reluctantly... All right.
Yep. And we've got The Night Watchman with Worldwide Rebel Song. So I think a fairly decent 2 weeks of music coming up here. Let's, we got to go over to movies. Now, unfortunately, we're doing this lo-fi, so everything takes a long time to, gosh darn it. So, Al, let's
need some jokes or something?
Yeah, let's, can we do some?
North Shore jokes? No.
Coming soon. Here we go. This is slow on a slow uptake for the phone here. Okay, so here we go. Friday, August 19th. Friday, August 19th for movies. We've got the remake of, actually two remakes, Conan the Barbarian, starring, not starring Arnold Schwarzenegger this time around, starring the big beefcake from Game of Thrones. I don't know his name, but my wife loves him to pieces. We've got a remake of the 80s horror comedy horror film, or more horror comedy, Fright Night, starring Colin Farrell's in it. And it's about a very spooky vampire who moves next door to a teenager and his family, and teenager finds out it's a vampire living there incognito, and all sorts of trouble ensues. We've also got the fourth installment of the Spy Kids trilogy. It was a trilogy. All the Time in the World, starring Jeremy Piven, Jessica Alba, and Joel McHale. So, of course, you're going to see this film. Are you not, Al?
No.
Robert Rodriguez. Following up on Friday, August 26th, or I might even be a week behind. I don't even know. We're just going to keep naming. We're going to go 3 weeks in a row. We've got a scary movie called Don't Be Afraid of the Dark. And Colin Biana, starring, I don't even know who this, Zoe Saldana. It's a young woman who becomes an assassin after she sees her family gunned down. So she's going to, it's all about revenge business, my friend.
You can tell I don't watch movies, huh, Shane?
Yep. And, I think we'll stick with that right there. Unless we go into September, which I don't think we want to. So if we're screwed up on the weeks here, no worries. Next, Al. We got movies, we did music, so that means we've got...
News?
No, we'll look at video. We'll skip video games, because it's been pretty quiet for video games. So let's stop right there.
Well, you do have one new video game this week.
What's that?
I want your 30-second review.
Rat on a Skateboard. It's an iPod app. You can play it on your iPod. You can play it on your iPad. You can play it on your iPhone. Al had it on his phone, and I'm telling you, it has swept the North Shore like crazy. My kid loves it.
All the 5 through 8 year olds love
it. Yes. And really all you're doing is you're a rat on a skateboard jumping over banana peels and gaps and basketballs. And I would give that a solid 3.25 stars.
Solid 3.25 stars. Or lots of...
It's a very powerful, powerful game. Good job with the sound effects, though. I think Jared might have to listen to this and be re-inspired. If that's a really... Or
re-inspired.
Inspired again by all of your good work. So, yeah, we covered movies. We covered music. I think that's good enough. Nobody buys DVDs anymore. It's all Redbox, so who gives a rat's ass? So let's take one last break, and we'll come back and wrap up the Scope 2011 North Shore Spectacular. What do you say, Al?
Let's do it. I think we're going to start making out soon.
Yeah, I know. Al, I think it's a momentous occasion, if there ever was one. We are wrapping up the Scope 2011 North Shore Spectacular. I've said it a million times. That's probably the best thing I've said throughout the entire podcast, is that name of the show, because it meant we're on vacation, we're having a good time. But I want to thank you for giving me a little bit of your time and your help to turn in a show, since we haven't really done one most of the summer.
No.
Hopefully our fans here will have a...
I think I've been offline for probably over a year now.
Yeah, well, you're back on it in big fashion.
Desperation
in big fashion.
Calls, I guess.
Yeah, you're on it now. I think it'd be exciting because we've come up with a lot of good ideas for shows, and a lot of those involve you. So hopefully you'll be back on our show when you get some time.
Well, until that time, if you'd like to follow me, Music Snob.
Yeah, let's why don't you plug yourself?
On Twitter, at Music Snob. _L_J. You can find me
just
there.
J, the letter
yes,
J.
LJ.
Yeah, and you can follow me at Shane with 2 A's and a P at the end.
Wow.
I mean, that's something else. That's a good one. But yeah, we'll definitely be looking forward to seeing you and listening to you on the show more often. And please follow Al, because he puts a lot of good music stuff out there for you to listen to.
I think my typing is more exciting than my talking.
That's so all right.
Don't worry about it.
Well, we weren't meant to be high energy here. This is vacation, so this is we're doing this on at our leisure, as they say.
Yes.
But I do want to thank Jared for giving us permission. I want to thank Al. I want to thank Adam for allowing me to call him on a business trip just to be on the show. You didn't hear that segment, Al, so you'll have to actually tune into the show and find out. And I want to thank everyone that has allowed us to take up the space here in our cabin while we're doing this. So for Al and myself and the rest of the gang, please continue to listen to The Scope. Listen to this episode, enjoy it, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much.
Grab your dick and double click for porn, porn, porn.
I think the man. Porn.
Internet is for porn! Yeah! Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying arrivederci. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.